placed upon my heart. I have really been wrestling with some scriptures this week, and I feel much in need of the Lord's help to present them. Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And that's reading the first 14 verses of Romans chapter 6. Now, if you care to read along further, I ask you to turn to the third chapter of Philippians. And I want to begin reading in verse 9. Same writer, the Apostle Paul, here writing this epistle to the Philippians. I'm sorry, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now I want you to listen to the things that Paul said in this 10th verse. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And I would like to speak for a little while today about what the Apostle Paul here wrote to the Philippians about his desire to know Christ and the power
of His resurrection. And that's what I'd like to speak today about and address primarily the church today, about knowing the power of the Lord's resurrection. Now, I want you to keep something in mind before I go any further, that this was something that was expressed by a man who had been saved for a number of years, who was called to preach, who was an apostle, who had been ordained an apostle, who had already done extensive missionary work, and yet he writes to the Philippians and he says, I want to know Christ, and I want to know the power of His resurrection. Now, the apostle here, I believe, and you know what? I understand that you may have some different views on what the apostle Paul was saying here in these verses to the Philippians, and that's fine, because I find this to be difficult, perhaps to understand exactly what he is saying here. But all I can do is present to you what I believe the Lord has showed me in this. And I don't believe that Paul was referencing just knowing Him as a child of God. Certainly that's the best thing that can ever happen to anybody, knowing the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. But I believe that he was talking about knowing Him in his walk with God, knowing the power of His resurrection, in not only in the way that it had affected his salvation, but also that it would affect his sanctification, would affect his walk with God. And listen, the power of the Lord's resurrection ought to have great power on the lives that we live as God's people in trying to serve the Lord. And there are some things that I want to establish, a few very basic, I suppose you would say, biblical facts. And one of them is that Jesus Christ rose up from the dead. He resurrected on the third day, just like that He said He would. And the Scriptures tell us that over and over and over. I love the verse there in the 24th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, where the women that had come to the tomb, they were addressed there by the angels. The angels spoke to them, and they asked them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, He is risen." And so the Lord Jesus Christ is alive today. He has risen from the dead. And also the Bible teaches us in many places that the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves are going to come forth. That there will be a resurrection of the dead, as the Apostle Paul said, both of the just and of the unjust. We met this morning in the sunrise service. We gathered here at the back part of the cemetery there around Sister Christine Gentry's grave, and we had our sunrise service there. And I thought a little bit later on, I thought of something that Elder Calvin Perigo used to say. He said, those really aren't graveyards. Those are resurrection sites. And, you know, one day, as we spoke about there this morning, one day, as Jesus told us in the fifth chapter of Matthew, marvel not at this, the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice and shall come forth. And so, you know, God speaks to His people. the Lord speaks to his people. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And we know the voice of our master because he speaks to his people. But listen, if I am one of those that goes the way of the grave before the Lord comes back, I'm telling you today, I am going to the grave with the anticipation of one day being laid in the dirt and hearing my Jesus speak to me again. I believe it. He said the hour is coming and we will hear it. We will hear his voice telling us to come forth, and we will come forth. And when that time comes, then he will complete what he began in us when he saved us by his grace. He will complete his work of redemption in us when he raises us and gives us an incorruptible, immortal, perfect body, united with that perfect soul, and takes us home to be with him in heaven, and our salvation will be complete. The Bible says right now that we have the earnest of our inheritance, but one day the Lord will complete that which he has begun in us. So the Lord Jesus Christ is alive from the dead. All that are in the graves will one day be raised from the dead. And the Apostle Paul, when he knew this, or when he wrote this rather, he knew that the day would come when he would one day be risen, bodily risen from the dead, that he would experience the bodily resurrection. But I believe that in what he said to the Philippians, when he spoke about his desire to know Christ and to know the power of his resurrection, that he was making reference to something that he wanted to know presently, not just out in the future one day when the Lord would resurrect his body from the grave, but he was wanting to know the power of the resurrection on his life here in this world. And the Bible teaches us that those of us that have been saved, that we have already presently, we are risen with Christ. If you look in the third chapter of Colossians, in the first verse of that third chapter of Colossians, the Apostle Paul said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And that wasn't talking about rising one day in the resurrection. It was talking about if you are presently risen with Christ. Listen, everybody that has truly been saved by God's grace, we are risen with Christ. If you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And so we are risen with the Lord. Well, how are we risen? Well, we've been made alive. We've been brought from death unto life. As John said, the Apostle John said in 1 John, he said that we have passed from death unto life. The way that those who are saved, the way that we have risen, I believe, is explained to us in the first verse of the second chapter of Ephesians, when the Apostle Paul said, and you hath he quickened, which means he hath made alive. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And so the Lord, when he saved us, he took that inward man that was dead, that was separated from him because of our trespasses and sins, and he quickened that by his Spirit. He regenerated that by his Holy Spirit and made it alive. And when he did that within us, he wrought within us that operation of God that was wrought within us, I believe, is explained in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, when the Apostle Paul said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." And so let's look at some of the things for a moment here that the Apostle Paul made mention of in the sixth chapter of Romans. Now, our baptism, water baptism, the ordinance that was administered to us when we submitted ourselves before the church for membership in the Lord's church, the ordinance of baptism administered to us did not save our souls. The Apostle Paul said that we are buried with him. We are buried with him by baptism into death. I'm telling you, if you're not already with him, if that relationship doesn't already exist when you're baptized, you're not going to get it from being baptized. You're going to have that, and baptism has never been about saving the soul. That was never its purpose. I'll tell you what, baptism is a beautiful, beautiful ordinance. And we ought to take it very serious. It's a beautiful ordinance. What it does is it symbolizes and it paints a beautiful picture of what happened to us when we were saved. When the Lord saved us, when he quickened that inward man, we died to sin, folks. And listen, from that very moment, sin has no more dominion over us. Let me tell you something. There will never be one individual that has truly been regenerated, that has truly been born again, that sin will again claim their soul. It'll never happen. We have been delivered from that power. And so our baptism, and listen, this is why that baptism can only be properly performed by total immersion. It's the only way that will signify what it's really supposed to represent. We are buried, Paul said, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, you know, one day we are going to be living in a perfect body with a perfect soul. I'm talking about those that have been saved. One day we are going to be living in a perfect body with a perfect soul and be complete in that way. But listen, the Apostle Paul taught this. He taught this in the sixth chapter of Romans. He taught it in the eighth chapter of Romans. He taught it in the third chapter of Philippians, that we are to strive to live the resurrected life while we are here, while we are still in the body. And I'm convinced that that's what he was talking about there in the third chapter of the Philippian letter, when he wanted to know him. He wanted to know the power of his resurrection. He wanted to know the fellowship of his sufferings. He wanted to be made conformable unto his death. Listen, the Apostle Paul desired all of Jesus that he could have. And so should we. Now, you may read these and just scan over this and not think about it. But Paul said, I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. You know, I'm afraid that today, perhaps, this is where we're at. Oh, we love the thought of wearing the crown of righteousness. Paul loved the thought of wearing the crown of righteousness. In his writing to Timothy, he said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He loved the thought of the crown of righteousness. We love the thought of wearing the crown of righteousness. But Paul was saying here that, that he would take his part with the crown of thorns as well. We don't really aspire to that, do we? The crown of righteousness is okay. Paul said, I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to be made conformable not only to his life, but unto his death. The Bible says that if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. Oh, we like that reigning part, don't we? Maybe not so much the suffering. But you know, Jesus said the disciple is not above his master. So Paul said, I want to know Jesus in every way that I can know him. He was talking about the effect of the power of the resurrection upon his present life. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what I believe the Apostle Paul's mindset was in this, that he wanted to absorb Christ. He wanted all of Christ he could have. He wanted all that he could be. And though he realized that he had not yet reached perfection, though he realized that he was not yet in that resurrected, glorified body, he had a desire as much as he could. And that's what he was striving for when he said, I am not already perfect, but I follow after, that it was his desire, even though he realized that he had not been given that perfect body yet and had not reached that state of perfection, he wanted to try to live his life as if he already had experienced it. I believe that's what he was saying here. I follow after that, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, you know, sometimes I believe that we are too guilty of this attitude. We do something wrong. We do something that we know is outside the will of God. And you know what we say? Oh, well, I can't be perfect. No, we can't. We know that we can't. Paul knew that he couldn't, but that's no excuse not to try, is it? Just because we know that we can't be perfect, just because we haven't yet experienced that, that will make us perfect, that's no reason for us as God's people to just throw up our hands and say, I might as well not even try. That wasn't the attitude that Paul had. Paul's attitude was, I know I haven't reached it, but I'm grabbing for it. I'm grabbing for it. I'm trying to live my life as if I already have. We won't achieve it. I mean, we won't achieve it here in this mortal body, but we need to strive for that. I believe that's what the sixth chapter of Romans tells us. He said, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. You know, Jesus came here to die for our sins, and he dwelt for a while in the flesh, and he had death to face that he might die there on the cross for our sins. But listen, once he did that, once he accomplished that, once they laid his body in the ground, and once he had risen from the dead, when he was walking around after his resurrection and proving himself alive by many infallible proofs, he didn't have that to deal with anymore. He didn't have death to deal with anymore. And Paul said here, by the same token, that just as Jesus died for our sins and did that once, in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. He said, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive through Jesus Christ our Lord. We've risen. We've risen in that we have been saved by God's grace. We've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. And you know what? We need to act like it, don't we? We need to live a life that shows the world that we have been changed. We need to live a life that shows the world that the power of the Lord's resurrection is upon us. That we are striving to fulfill what we testified of when we made public profession that we have been saved by God's grace and we submitted to the ordinance of baptism. And we testified to the world as we were buried under the water that that old man of sin has died. The Lord has rid me of that. And we were buried with him, signifying that we had died to sin. And we were raised from that liquid grave, testifying that we're going to walk in a changed way. Amen. We're going to walk in newness of life. We're going to live. We're going to strive to live out what we testify. You know what? This is the attitude as God's people. I believe this is the only proper attitude that you and I can have towards sin. The only way that we can properly look at it is this. Just like Paul said, I know that I can't make it through the day without sinning. I know that I can't be perfect, but I'm going to try with every ounce of me to be perfect. I'm going to try to live that perfected life. That's what John said. That's what John wrote in the first and second chapter of John. He said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But you know what? John did not say, because of that, there's no need to try. He said, we know if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If we confess our sins before Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But you go right on into the next chapter and you won't find that John said, little children, I write these things unto you so that you can realize that you can't live above sin and there's no need to try. He said, I write these things unto you that you sin not. That you sin not. The fact that we realize that we are not perfect here was never intended to give us a license to sin. Never was. We need to strive, even though we know that we're not going to attain perfection until we have that resurrected body. We need to strive to live perfectly. You'll fail at it every day. Paul realized that he would fail at it. As long as he had this nature of Adam, he realized that he wouldn't be perfect in this life. But he said, I'm chasing after it. I'm chasing it. I'm trying to lay hold of that. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord's resurrection it had to happen in order for us to be saved. The Bible said he was delivered for our offenses, but raised again for our justification. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, we might as well shut this place down, hadn't we? There'd be no need for us to gather here today to worship. There'd be no need. We wouldn't have any faith. Our faith, Paul said, our faith would be in vain. Our preaching would be in vain. We'd be dead in our sins. If Christ would have stayed in the grave, there'd be no need for Fairview Memorial. No need. But he's alive. He's alive. He's risen. And we live, those of us that have been saved, we live unto him. And so, it affects us in that way. But the power of his resurrection must have a profound effect upon our spiritual lives, upon our service to God. The apostles were motivated by that, weren't they? When they went out preaching the word, they were motivated by that. You read the book of Acts, and find how many times when those men went out preaching the gospel that they spoke about the fact that Jesus had resurrected. I mean, it was their driving force. It motivated them that they were preaching about a God that had risen from the dead. Paul said, I haven't reached it, but I'm striving to live it right now, right now. And that's what we should do. That's what we should do. If you're here today and you're lost, we're going to have a song. And I'll say this, that everything that needed to be done in order for you to be saved has been done. It's all been done. The plan of salvation has been completed. And if you come to the Lord and you meet his conditions, you come to him on the terms of the gospel, you come to him and repent of your sins and trust in Jesus, he'll save you by his grace. While we have a song, appreciate your attention.
Number 171. Hallelujah, he's coming again. Hallelujah, I don't know just when. Hallelujah, I'm looking for him. Just any moment, he's coming again. Folks go a-running, some here and some there, looking for someone their burdens to bear. In a world of confusion, in a time of despair, there's only one answer, and he'll soon be here. Hallelujah! He's coming again. Hallelujah. I don't know just when. Hallelujah. I'm looking for him. Just any moment, he's coming again. I don't know the day, and I don't know the hour. The saints will behold him coming in power. But when we shall see him, we'll be like he is. Oh, glory to God, he's coming again. Hallelujah, he's coming again. Hallelujah, I don't know just when. Hallelujah, I'm looking for him. Just any moment, he's coming again. Some morning soon, I'm going away. I've got just a short time, so hear what I say. The message is given. The call has gone out. At the sound of the trumpet, we'll leave with a shout. Hallelujah, he's coming again. Hallelujah, I don't know just when. Hallelujah, I'm looking for him. Just any moment, he's coming again.